So then open your Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1. I noticed I was reading a fella that had written on the subject of Bible inspiration and preservation, and he was going to the book of Hebrews. And I think you so naturally go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, like I just said it. And I was reading what he wrote, and he wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and he quotes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're just so naturally used to going to Hebrews 11. But don't go there tonight. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We see this text as verse 1 telling us how we received from the inspiration of God the Old Testament through the prophets. And he tells us then in verse 2 that in the last days, that's a technical term, the last days would be a period of time beginning when the Lord was physically on this earth. The last days. We're in the last days, but we've been in the last days quite a while. If you say, well, it's getting really bad, we must be in the last days, that's a misuse of the biblical term, technically, because we've been in the last days since the Lord was on this earth. Verse 2 here says, In these last days hath spoken unto us by his Son. Well, you say, he didn't, while upon this earth, he said a certain amount, but then we have a whole lot more. When we look at the 27 books of the New Testament, it's a whole lot more than just the Gospels and just the strict words of our Lord. We're going to look at that tonight. How that the Lord told the apostles that you are going to be instrumental in getting out the truth. You are going to be instrumental. I have taught you while I've been on this earth, and the Spirit of God will teach you after I'm gone. And he'll lead you into all truth. Remember, I said that the apostles were like the microphones and the cameras and the voice recorders and the MP3 players and the commentators. The apostles were God's tools to get the word out. He was one person upon this earth. But through the apostles, we'll see our New Testament begin to develop. Just a reminder, you ought to know on the tip of your tongue, top of your head, Luke 24. There is a passage here to me that has made so much sense to me in Luke 24 that defines for us the Old Testament. I hope that when you think of the Old Testament, when you think of Christ speaking of the Scriptures, that Luke 24 comes to your mind. And verses 25 through 27, for starters. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They were slow of heart, you see, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I want you to notice in that text that he calls what we're going to see identified here as the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. He called it the Scriptures. It was the sacred writings of the Jew. And notice the nature of the scriptures. This is something that we'll have to get a good grip of. The nature of the scriptures, it tells of Christ. Verse 27 there says, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. The things, plural, concerning himself. The very nature of the scriptures is that they describe Christ. And they show forth Christ. And then he gives in verses 44 and 45 an outline or an overview or a defining definition of what the Old Testament scriptures would be. Verse 44, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Remember the scriptures in verse 27. They are the things concerning Christ. That's the nature of the Word of God. If you're reading something that doesn't lift up and elevate and glorify Christ, it's not inspired. It's not part of the Word of God. Now he says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Again he says, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he calls them the scriptures, the sacred writings. And remember how I pointed out that that is the exact layout of the old Hebrew Old Testament. We need to know that. We need to understand that he didn't include the Apocrypha in what he said there, nor should we. So then how does the New Testament, that's the old, how does the New Testament develop? Look at John 17. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 9. Look what he says here. Now, you've got to get context. And we're going to go back to the beginning of this teaching session, but just want to remind you of the context. If you have a red letter Bible and you go back through John 16, 15, 14, you'll see it's all red, virtually. It's all virtually red letters, words of the Lord. That's because at the latter part of John 13, he has sent away Judas and he has the 11 around him. And in the beginning of chapter 14, he's talking to the 11 apostles. And that is the context of the next several chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So what we read in this section, we have to remember that he's not addressing a church somewhere, Christendom as a whole. He's addressing the 11 apostles. Notice how he says it here. 17:6. I have manifested thy name. He's praying to his Father. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Okay, verse 7. Whatever you've given me, Father, they know it's of you. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Notice verse 9 very carefully. I pray for them. He's talking about the 11. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 20. He's got the 11 in front of him. He's praying to the Father. As he continues the prayer, he says this: neither pray I for these alone, referring to the 11. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Remember, I said that the apostles were the microphones and the recorders. The apostles were the historians and the commentators. The apostles were the tools that the Lord used to get out the truth. And he says, as he prays, now, Father, these men, they know that what I teach came from you. They know that I am your only begotten Son. I'm praying for them, verse 20, and for them which shall believe on me through their word. What did he mean by that? Well, let's look back and remind ourselves of a couple of verses, and then go back and pick through some of this conversation that he had with the apostles. The apostles knew what he meant. There was a time, a long time, most of the time, that I wasn't sure that they understood that they were writing Scripture. I am completely convinced now they knew they were writing Scripture. Paul calls the words of Luke Scripture. Peter calls the words of Paul Scripture. Paul calls his own words Scripture. They knew they were writing Scripture because the Lord told them they were going to write Scripture. And we're going to point that out to you tonight. Remember back when we were talking about the church, and the church, according to Ephesians 2:20, was built on the foundation of the apostles. There's a doctrinal foundation that's being laid by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a foundation of truth, and it's a truth that Christ gave to the apostles directly. That and the fact that they were eyewitnesses of Christ. That and the fact that we're going to read in a second that he said, when I'm gone, the Spirit of Christ will teach you all truth. So there's a foundational truth given to us by means of the apostles. And then in Acts chapter 2:42, they call it the apostles' doctrine. That they stood steadfast together in the apostles' doctrine. Now let's go back and see what the Lord said to these apostles. Beginning in chapter 14. Chapter 14. He says, of course, he starts the chapter with, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's beginning to explain to them, "I'm leaving. But don't worry, I'm going to send the Spirit of God." Verse 17, John 14:17. Now let's go back to 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Why do they need another Comforter? Jesus is leaving. It won't be long. This is the night before the crucifixion. 3 days and three nights in the grave. He raises again. He's on the earth for 40 days. He's got a little more than a month to work with them. And he's telling them the crucifixion is coming and I'm leaving. They needed a comforter because he'd been the one to comfort them. Now he's leaving. Now the comforter in verse 16, how's it described in verse 17? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What does he tell the apostles will dwell in him? Or who? What slash who does he tell the apostles that will be dwelling within them? The Comforter, the Spirit of God, here called in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. Look at verses 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I didn't do this on purpose earlier when I forgot to announce the teen thing Friday night, but I forgot it. And anybody that knows me very well knows that if I don't have it written down on a note somewhere, it's gone, right? It's a... I said I would do what? The apostles aren't cut out of much different clay than we are. How are they going to remember all truth? How are they going to know all truth? How are they going to be able to write infallible truth? The Spirit of God is going to inspire them, move their pen, move their mind, move their thoughts. The infallible Spirit of God, the omniscient Spirit of God, the sovereign Spirit of God is going to move them and bring to their minds all truth and teach you all things. All right, look at chapter 15, 26 and 7. Chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Notice what he says here. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto the Father, unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, what did I point out to you when I read Luke 24 about the nature of the Scriptures? They testify of Christ. Okay? He said the Comforter that he will send, earlier called the Spirit of Truth, here called the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, we have a twofold validation, or a twofold, the word's escaping me, but there's two reasons here why the apostles are going to be qualified. That's the word I wanted. The twofold qualification for them to be the authors of the New Testament. Number one, they saw everything. They were there. Number two, even that which they might have forgotten or not understood, the Spirit of Truth will teach them and remind them of all truth. Not part of the truth. That is vitally important. All truth will be disseminated through the 11. All right, let's go to chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not part of it. You're not going to get a portion, and somebody's got to come along later and finish it. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So you understand here, the Lord is preparing them. The Lord is equipping them to be the spokesman, the microphones, the tool that gets out the truth after he's gone. Now, we've had all this context. Let's go back and reread what we started with in John 17. And again, this is truly the Lord's Prayer. We call the other one the Lord's Prayer. It's a model of how the Lord has taught. But here's the Lord actually praying. And remember verses 6 through 9. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, they have kept thy word. Now have they known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And he prays for them again in verse 9. Just a reminder, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Why is it important that the Spirit of God will lead them into all truth? Why is it important that the Spirit of God will bring the remembrance of all truth to their minds? Because it's going to be up to them to get the word out. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now they might not have understood all what was going on here. He told them they had many things, some hard to be received. But when they were writing scripture, they knew it. Let's look at some of the evidences quickly. Revelation chapter 1, written by the Apostle John. Revelation chapter 1, just look at verses 10 and 11. And keep what we've read in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 in your minds. The Spirit will guide them into all truth. Now, we're at the end of John's life. We are probably, John's an old man at this point. Maybe 40 years have passed, 50 years have passed since our Lord was on this earth. John was the last living apostle. A long time has passed. But notice what he says. Verse 10, Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I like that. On the Lord's day. Why do we meet together on Sunday? It's the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Who's going to be leading them into all truth, teaching them all truth, bringing to their remembrance all truth? The Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. It's going to be preserved. Write in a book. Send it to the seven churches, and he lists them. And we still have it today. first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. Sometime when you're reading through the book of Revelation, notice that almost, starting with chapter 4, after this I looked and beheld, chapter 5, and I saw, chapter 6, and I saw, and all through the book of Revelation, and I saw, and I saw, and I beheld, and the Spirit showed me. And John is living what the Lord told him would happen all those years earlier. The Spirit was guiding now this old man, John, into truth. And he says, write it in a book to keep it. I don't want it to get lost. Now, look also at 2 Peter. Again, now, Peter didn't live nearly as long as John, but he knew this was the end of his life. He knew that he was near the end of his days. He said that in 2 Peter 1:14, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. It would seem as though Peter recognizes the fact that he is going to be put to death in a similar manner to Christ. History tells us and records for us that he refused to be crucified in the exact same manner as Christ, so they did it upside down, that he was hung upside down. History records that. I don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but that's what most say. But Peter knew that his days on this earth were short, and he says, I'm going to put off this tabernacle here pretty soon. And so he says in verse 12, I want you to be established in the present truth. While I'm still around, I want you to be established in truth. Well, now Peter, what might be true for you might not be true for me. Now, wait a minute. On a level far different than any other human beings, the 11 apostles. And of course, they replaced Judas with Matthias. And then the apostle Paul was one born out of due time, directly called by God. But the apostles, they were led into all truth and they wrote it down. Peter said, I want you to be established in truth. Notice verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I'm going to write it down so you have it. Notice verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's one of the validations that the Lord gave. You're an eyewitness. And Peter said, look, I'm not making this stuff up. Well, it wasn't a bunch of fishermen that got down by the Galilean Sea and said, let's come up with a new religion that'll deceive millions. Peter said, no, I saw him. And he was told that he would be led into truth. Notice verse 19. Let's verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, right here in the next verse, Peter will go to the Old Testament prophets and describe how that they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to bring us the Old Testament that we have. How can Peter say we have a more sure word of prophecy than that? He said, I saw the Old Testament come to life. I was there. When all of the prophetic scriptures of Christ came to pass before my very eyes. It is one thing to say by faith, I believe the Old Testament, but Peter could say, I believe it, and I saw it. I saw Christ raised from the dead. I saw Christ crucified, just like they said. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto, you think Peter didn't know? Listen to this. Whereunto you do well to take, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Look at Galatians. We talked about Paul, and we'll bring this to a conclusion here for tonight, but look at Galatians. And Paul was an apostle born out of due time, his words. And that Paul was an eyewitness because Christ took him into his presence and revealed these things to Paul. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Look at verse 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul knew what he was writing was Scripture. You can go to 1 Corinthians 14:37, and he said, the things that I'm writing to you, they're the commands of God. 1 Corinthians 14:37. But we're out of time. But not all, if you're familiar with your New Testament, you say, oh, but not all the New Testament is written by apostles. That's exactly true. Lord willing, next week, I'll begin to tie together every author of the New Testament that was not an apostle. You can scripturally tie them together with apostles. For example, Luke, writer of the Gospel of Luke and writer of the book of Acts, Luke was on Paul's first missionary journey. And seemed to have spent a long time there with Paul. And then Paul later quotes Luke as Scripture. And when you, with a discerning eye, begin to tie together all the strings, they get all connected quite nicely, and you can see exactly what the Lord was talking about, that through the apostles and their influence, they would write the New Testament. And that's important. Because he told us that the apostles would be led into all truth. So I don't need some Johnny-come-lately to say, I have a new word from the Lord. I don't need some Reverend so-and-so to say, I have a new word from the Lord. No, no. That which the Lord promised, truth, through the apostles, that he would lead them into all truth. And you know what? They're all dead now. So that means he must have already led them into all truth. Because he said he would. And if he didn't, he's a failure or a liar. So he said he'd lead them into all truth. He must have. They're all dead. So someone comes along today now and says, I have a new word from the Lord. What are you going to say? Ah, too late. The New Testament's been written. And it's settled. And we need to have answers for these things because these things come up all the time. So we've seen how the Lord validated the Old Testament, and we see now in beginning to look at how the Lord pre-validated the New Testament, told them how it would come. We've just made the case now for how he used the apostles specifically, but next week, Lord willing, we'll tie them together with all the other New Testament writers and see how very much they had the special blessing and privilege of being used of God to get the word out. All truth. It's been a very enlightening and rewarding study, and I trust that it'll be encouraging to you as well. Let's pray.